The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
And I want to start off today just talking a little bit about a conversation I had with a patient yesterday. The patient had originally come to me for bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, which we do a lot of. But she had had it from another physician prior to coming to me, but she had pellets, estrogen pellets implanted in her. And I'm not sure if I recall she was tired of that or wanted a different type, because we don't do pellets, and I'm going to give you a reason why in a second. Basically, the underlying approach we take to everything is to imitate nature as closely as possible. The farther you deviate from nature and what they originally intend for people, the more trouble you run into. Because there are a lot of unexpected consequences when you do that. So we stick to nature, and nature doesn't have women's estrogen levels elevated constantly throughout their cycle. There, you know, it goes up, it goes down, and then it starts up again, and there are variations. When you put a pellet in, basically you're getting a very high static elevation of estrogen, so that's not the way nature intended it to be. But more importantly, yes,
so many times it's unpredictable how exactly that pellet will come apart, and in some people, it has occurred that it doesn't dissolve at all. And ultimately, people may open themselves up to an infection. And that's both women doing those injectable or implantable pellets, as well as gentlemen doing the testosterone implants.
That may be the case. And there are a lot of variations that can happen. For example, how deeply you insert the pellet, you know, it's going to affect its absorption rate. But I can make a better case for men using pellets than I can for women. But the case against pellets in both men and women is that if you need to make a change, you can't, because you can't take the pellet out once it's inserted. Why might you need to make a change? Well, women are having side effects from the estrogen, or men are having side effects. What are some of the side effects? Perhaps the testosterone is being converted too much to estrogen. Perhaps the PSA is going up. And there are times when you might want to make changes, so you really can't. But this is not why I brought this up. So the patient had the pellets, and we switched her over to an alternative form of delivery. And there are several. You can use a cream. There's a special BLA tablet that can be that gets absorbed through the lymphatics, or you can use a troche that dissolves in the mouth. But you have control. But the point I want to make about the pellet, though, is in women, why it's particularly problematical. And unfortunately, her doctor didn't make a big deal out of this, is you're putting in the estrogen pellet. It's putting out high levels of estrogen on a daily basis with no interruption or no variation. But the woman still has to remember to take her progesterone on a daily basis, because they don't put progesterone with the pellet. So now you've got the pellet there, and if the woman doesn't remember to take the progesterone, or they don't prescribe it adequately enough, this woman only had it prescribed for 10 days out of the month. So there was no, so she was estrogen dominant for the other 20 days. You create the problems associated with estrogen dominance. So what are those problems? fibroids in the uterus, for example, and increase in risk of breast cancer from estrogen dominance. And she had an ultrasound done, after the, using the pellets for a while, and she did have fibroids, which she didn't have prior to using them. So I think a good idea for any woman who's contemplating using bioidentical hormone replacement, because I don't recommend using mainstream hormone replacement because it's not bioidentical, that you have a baseline pelvic ultrasound just to make sure you know the status of whether or not you have fibroids or any other issues. Now, fibroids are caused by estrogen dominance, so you could have prevented the development of fibroids even if you weren't taking hormones. And I'm talking about in women, fibroids occur premenopausally because of estrogen dominance. So if you had detected that and taken progesterone to balance out the estrogen, you could prevent the fibroids. Typically, what the gynecologist will tell the patient is, well, when you go into menopause and your hormone levels drop, the fibroids will shrink. No mention of trying to prevent it in the first place by making sure that woman isn't estrogen dominant. So that's my position on pellets. And by the way, they don't even check those women closely enough. I think they do a check maybe when they implant the pellet and maybe a few months later when they think they have to replace it. Janet, do you see many clients that have had pellets implanted?
I do. And unfortunately, I see those clients that are having problems and they don't understand why, because they've been told by the physician recommending those implantable pellets that this will straighten out all of their hormone issues and they will feel very well. And unfortunately, that doesn't happen too often. So I talk to people all the time about the negatives associated with using the implantable pellets, as well as the dangers, where they will potentially really go wrong with difficult to correct hormone imbalances.
I think that's important for people to know. You know, when we go to the conferences, there are many companies there promoting pellets because they say it's convenient. The person doesn't have to think about taking their hormones every day. But like I mentioned, for women, you have to still remember to take your progesterone every day. It's not in the pellet. And if you forget it, you're creating another problem, which is that estrogen dominance. I think that would be one of the main reasons not to use it. But you need to monitor your hormone levels with any type of hormone replacement therapy, but the pellets in particular. And I think a lot of doctors still don't pay attention to hormonal balance, because I hear from patients, their doctor says, well, what do you need progesterone for? And what progesterone does is blocks all the negative effects that unopposed estrogen will create. Some of those are weight gain, but more importantly, just the increased risk of breast cancer and other hormonally sensitive cancers, uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, things like that. So there's no substitute for monitoring, close supervision, which isn't being done. Had another patient, this is an interesting one, and this is a topic that affects both men and women, and that was the approach to atrial fibrillation. Now, the standard of care for atrial fibrillation, if you have it, is to put somebody on some kind of blood thinner, because those people are at increased risk of a stroke. In particular, the ones that go in and out of atrial fibrillation. And the reason for that is the atrium are not contracting fully. They're just quivering. And then the ventricles contract. And as long as you stay in atrial fibrillation, you're at less risk. But if you go in and out of it, sometimes there's a tendency for blood clots to form in the atrium because the blood is stagnating there. And then when you go out of atrial fibrillation and the atrium start to contract, it could release a blood clot into the circulation. And from that part of your heart, it'll go up to the brain. And that's why there's an increased risk of stroke in people with atrial fibrillation. So the question is, all right, how do you reduce that risk? Well, one way is, you know, prevent the formation of blood clots. And there are choices here. But before I get to those, you know, I did an EKG on that patient. And when she was in the office, at the, you know, this was yesterday, she was in a regular sinus rhythm. Yet I saw, you know, she had brought in tracings from the cardiologist where she was in atrial fibrillation. So she's going in and out of atrial fibrillation, and she is at risk for a stroke. And they had her on one of these new blood thinners. And I have a real concern about the use of these new blood thinners. But first, I would just want to mention, but they didn't even try to keep her out of atrial fibrillation. They didn't put her on magnesium. I would have thought that would have been an automatic, because it's magnesium deficiency in many cases is associated with atrial fibrillation, and you can, in many cases, correct the deficiency and the problem goes away. That was not looked at. They're just saying take the drug. So I, you know, I pointed out to her all the lawsuits associated with these new blood thinners. You've seen the commercials on TV, how they say you don't have to go to your doctor now to check your levels like you have to do with Coumadin. It's, you know, very convenient, and compared to Coumadin, it's a much more effective way. It's going to reduce your risk of stroke. So, you know, I showed her the lawsuits that are cropping up because when you have a bleed, because there's no way of adjusting the dose. It's one size fits all. You know, just take it. We don't have a blood test to measure if you have the right dose or not. One size fits all. If you start to bleed, they don't have an antidote to stop the bleeding. So that's my concern. And why would that be possible? Why would that be problematic? Because if you're bleeding in the brain, that could be deadly. How would that happen, for example? Well, Janet will have to answer that question when we come back after this break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Janet Cimarelli is the licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we were talking about the approach or the use of blood thinners in the context of atrial fibrillation and how I'm concerned about the newer ones because there are no antidotes if you were to have a bleed. Whereas with Coumadin, you can adjust the dosage and reverse the anticoagulant effect if you needed to. So, in looking this up for the patient, I came across an interesting report about just how the pharmaceutical industry does these studies in order to get these drugs passed. And we have to know this so we can make better choices when our doctors suggest that you take a drug. The pharmaceutical industry is the biggest funder of clinical trials in the U.S. So that's the first thing. So they're doing the studies on the drugs that they want to get approved by the FDA. And it's a multi-billion-dollar industry with a lot of pressure to get to be the first one to come up with a great drug and bring it to the market. Did you ever find it interesting how many blood pressure medications there are, or how many cholesterol lowering medications there are, or even how many medications for diabetes? You know, these are called me too drugs. You know, every company wants to have their own version. The process of research and development bringing these drugs to market cost $30 billion every year the companies will spend. And there is a very low success rate, too. So there's a lot of pressure here. But here's what you have to know. Publication, this is where they publish the results of their studies. And there is a bias with this publication, and that meaning that they're only publishing the positive studies and they're not publishing the negative ones. So what's reported here is since 1948, researchers completed an estimated 1 million clinical trials, but they reported only half of those results. The numbers do not account for clinical trials that were terminated before they were completed. So, you're only hearing about the good things about it, not the bad things about a drug. And here's an example of how this might affect somebody. You know, Jana, we talked about this yesterday. For example, if a drug company comes to me and tells me how great a drug is, and they know that they're only reporting the good part of it, not the bad part of it, and then I repeat it to you, and you believe me, I'm repeating the first lie, but you don't know that it's a lie. And this is what happens. I think statin drugs might come under this category. I mean, look how many serious side effects are associated with statin drugs. And yet, besides the fact that lowering cholesterol levels does not solve the problem of heart attacks and serious consequences of that. Now, here's an example of a drug. Back in the 1980s, it was called Locainide. It was an anti-arrhythmic drug. A lot of times, it's routine. You have a heart attack, you go into the hospital, and they put you on an anti-arrhythmic drug because in that post-heart attack period, the patient is more prone to have serious cardiac arrhythmias. They didn't report report in their studies that nine times as many patients died on the drug than they did on the placebo. So here's what happened. So throughout the 80s, That's the 1980s. An estimated 20,000 to 75,000 people died every year from this drug. In 1993, the researchers published the study results and the drug was removed from the market. If they had published that study sooner, that drug would have been removed sooner and thousands would have been saved. Now, and we hear stories like this over and over again. Now, every drug that's approved by the FDA is being approved based on what the drug companies publish, and they're not publishing the negative results, just the positive ones. So I think, you know, that's why it's been recommended that any new drug that comes on the market, give it 5 years to see if it's still on the market for that one reason, because you don't know how much negative information has been withheld from the public. And the pharmaceutical industry has a long history of hiding negative clinical trial results, and they get away with it. Another example, government spent billions of dollars stockpiling the influenza drug Tamiflu to protect against a major flu outbreak. But you never heard about the reports of suicidal thoughts and actions in children using Tamiflu. So, that's why I think more and more people, Janet, are looking for alternative approaches than to take a drug. They said that there were 36 trials involving Tamiflu, but the drug manufacturers only agreed to provide 10. After 5 years of negotiations and a Freedom of Information Act, finally they received more than 70 studies and 100,000 pages of unpublished reports. And what do you think that the unpublished reports were? Those were the negative or inconclusive results. Because every trial is going to have good results and bad results as part of it. And, this is, never talked about. You always hear about the blockbuster drug, and then years later you hear about all the negative consequences of people having taken that drug.
Well, you talked a moment ago, Dr. Slavin, about the number of people who actually died during the testing period for the specific heart irregularity drug. And there doesn't seem to be any accountability. There doesn't seem to be any support from the FDA for those people who are injured while taking these drugs. And injured with an effect that was known before the drug was brought to the marketplace. If any other industry were operating on this level of fraudulent behavior, it would not necessarily continue. But I think that so many times the information is truly hidden from the consumers.
Well, here's another example of the drug company not providing all the documentation about their new drug, and that was in the U.S. Department of Justice accused GlaxoSmithKline of reporting false data from one clinical trial and hiding data from two others. And this was looking at the drug Paxil. One leaked company document said it would be commercially unacceptable to include a statement that efficacy had not been demonstrated. In other words, one trial showed the drug didn't do anything. The company falsely reported trial results claiming Paxil was effective at treating children with depression. GlaxoSmithKline eventually settled the claim for $3 billion, along with other claims for illegally marketing various drugs. But it seems interesting that the media never talks about these settlements. It's probably because drug companies are major marketing people on their, radio and television. So pharmaceutical companies harm the public when they hide or misrepresent clinical trial data. Now, you know, to you, to the average person, $3 billion fine, it seems like a lot of money, but the drug company probably made far more than that, and that's why they're willing to take the risk. You know, they figure they could, you know, make a lot of money before they're forced to pull a drug or pay a fine.
And do you think this is the only drug that GlaxoSmithKline provided essentially false information about? GlaxoSmithKline markets many different types of pharmaceuticals in many different categories.
Now, here's a another concern that people should have, because I've had patients, against my recommendation, join clinical trials. And, you know, a clinical trial is taking an experimental drug. Well, you know, and some of them don't survive those trials. Here's an example. There was a case of Dan Markinson and the University of Minnesota. Is one of the most covered cases of a death during a big pharma clinical trial. Markinson's mother aggressively protested her son's involvement in a clinical trial funded by AstraZeneca at the university for more than a year. Her son eventually committed suicide during the trial despite Weiss's attempts, that's the mother, to have him seek other treatment options. The author of a series of articles covering the event, Minnesota bioethics professor Carl Elliott, wrote, "The danger lies not just in the particular circumstances that led to Dan's death, but in a system of clinical research that has been thoroughly co-opted by market forces, so that many studies have become little more than covert instruments for promoting drugs. So my recommendation is you pass on getting into a trial." Although I know the doctors promote that very heavily, because they are reimbursed for participating in a trial. Now, so that case, well, here's the psychiatry department that was involved in that study made more than $15,000 for every participant who completed that study. So department in that university made $300,000 by participating in the study. So you can see the incentive. This is, you know, sort of a recurring theme in what we talk about is, you know, they wonder why are we seem to be anti-drug or anti-mainstream medicine. It's not that we're anti-drug or mainstream medicine. We're actually pro-health. And by that we mean we want to try and keep people healthy. And it seems pretty obvious that that's not the goal of mainstream medicine, to keep people healthy. The goal is to get them on as many drugs as possible. You never hear of a study, in this country at least, I don't think, where instead of putting people on drugs, you put them on a proper eating regimen and an exercise program and compare the benefits of that approach to a health condition versus taking a drug. And that music means it's time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. I guess we've been talking about the dangers of taking medication, especially in light of the fact that the studies that have been done to make sure that the drugs are safe to take are manipulated. And by manipulation, they only show the good parts of the study. They withhold the more serious side effects. And as I speak, I'm just looking up a drug that I hear advertised a lot on TV, and that's Breo. Janet, you've heard of that drug, Breo?
I don't recall it, no.
It's a drug that's recommended for COPD, emphysema, or asthma. But, you know, what concerns me is if you look at the serious side effects, and this is mentioned in the commercial, it said you could have one of the side effects could be death, asthma-related death. In other words, I guess you get an asthmatic attack that the drug failed to prevent or control. You could also have cardiac arrhythmias. I mean, a lot of different side effects from the drug, and yet it's out on the market, being actively promoted on television. And I just wonder if there aren't better approaches than that, if death is one of the risks you have to take with the drug. So I think this is probably, you know, what we're talking about is probably one of the main reasons why you see the, you know, the supplement industry, you know, all the natural remedies gaining more and more popularity, because people are beginning to realize just how many side effects are associated with taking drugs. So they look for a more natural approach to replace the drug. And that's where we started off the program, about the woman who's taking the new anticoagulant with no antidotes. So the question was, can she be just as safe taking, for example, high doses of fish oil and vitamin E to prevent platelet aggregation and blood clots versus taking the drugs that can cause excessive bleeding and with no antidote? Do you have a thought on that? You must have patients ask you that same question, or clients.
Well, I talk to a lot of people who are on lengthy lists of medications, and unfortunately, very often when they come to see me, they're dealing with side effects, and they don't necessarily believe that the issues and symptoms that they're dealing with are associated with the drugs that they're taking. And very often they tell me, oh, I've been taking this drug for 10 years and I never had any problem. And they say, well, sometimes it takes a certain amount of time for your body to run out of the ability to deal with the chemicals in that drug. So very frequently, one of the things that I talk to them about are choices that they have in the natural realm that are going to give some of the same benefits without any of the side effects. And Dr. Slavin, you talk all the time about doctors not necessarily checking the patient's blood work on any kind of a frequent basis. So people talking about taking warfarin and the situation that they have to go and have their blood tested on a regular basis, and these new drugs, they don't have to do that testing. But indeed, they may not have to do that testing, but they may also be opening themselves up to damage that is going unnoticed for months and months and months. So people looking for other options with regard to benefiting circulation, to think about fish oil, to think about vitamin E, to think about garlic, ginkgo biloba. So many of these natural substances enhance the ability of the blood vessels to work to the extremities. So problems with neuropathy, problems with circulation, cold hands and feet, they have resolution when you're choosing natural approaches.
Well, the issue with an atrial fibrillation is a serious one, because the death rate in people with atrial fibrillation compared to age-matched controls is tenfold higher within 4 months of diagnosis. And they're expecting in the last 25 years, the age and sex-adjusted annual incidence of atrial fibrillation has increased by 12.6%. So the incidence of atrial fibrillation is increasing, and it's a problem that needs to be considered. But why isn't anything being done to prevent atrial fibrillation? It's all about diagnose it, but nobody is looking to keep those people healthy enough to prevent the atrial fibrillation, because that's not what doctors do. You go to a doctor and he looks for the problem. He doesn't look to prevent a potential problem. So when it comes to atrial fibrillation, one of the ways to prevent the potential of developing that cardiac arrhythmia is to make sure you're not magnesium deficient. But that's not being done. I don't know, Janet, because all my patients get checked for magnesium levels, but the people that bring you lab results from their doctors, are they routinely checking magnesium levels?
They may be checking magnesium levels, but unfortunately the mode of testing is not the most effective one for truly evaluating how well magnesium is functioning in the body. They're doing a serum magnesium test, when indeed that is a cellular nutrient, and the correct way for testing it would be red blood cell magnesium level. Unfortunately, not being done.
And it's very common to be deficient in magnesium. And that may be the explanation for why the incidence of atrial fibrillation seems to be on the rise now.
So many people might be taking a magnesium and experience a digestive response that they assume is incorrect, and that possibly because they are experiencing loose bowels or diarrhea, they're assuming that their levels of magnesium are in the correct range. And so they stop taking the magnesium. But indeed, your body, when it's deficient, might not be able to process the magnesium very efficiently. So you have to start with a small dose and gradually increase the dose, just being very gentle to your body so that it is actually able to handle the magnesium and utilize it so that you don't develop any of the symptoms associated with magnesium deficiency.
And it's being reported that atrial fibrillation isn't being adequately managed by physicians. And by that, I guess they're saying the compliance factor if your only drug is one like Coumadin, where you have to monitor the level of anticoagulation on a regular basis, that's an obstacle to the patients using it. They have to remember to take the drug and then get the levels measured. So that's why they've been looking for all these drugs that you can give to people, and you don't have to do a blood test to measure whether or not they're anticoagulated. And that's what all these commercials on TV, you know, promote. You don't have to go to the doctor, just take your drug. And I think if these were safe drugs, that might be sound advice. But I still think, and it's a shame we don't have studies to look at the anticoagulant effect of fish oil and vitamin E, to name two supplements that everybody should be taking anyway, in my opinion. But it's again, it's if you have a choice to be healthy or unhealthy, everybody would say, yeah, I want to be healthy, but then they don't want to take the steps to be healthy. And, you know, that brings us back to what we've been talking about, you know, last week for a couple of days, a little bit this week, and that was the importance of diet and keeping yourself healthy. And when we talk about diet, we're saying, let's look at the results of a good diet versus a bad diet. And I think the most important area to look at is your fasting insulin level, because that's the area that is associated with so many diseases. If you have elevated insulin levels to control your blood sugar. In other words, the doctor's just checking your blood sugar. He's not going to pick up the elevated insulin. And that's associated with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, an increased risk of heart attacks and cancer. So that would be the first area to look at. The second area would be you know, exercise. And okay, we John, you heard that about a caller with a question.
Yes, we have a caller on the line with regard to testing. Good morning, welcome.
Thank you.
Pediatric
it's wonderful
radio.
To tune into your show for the last 20 years, but I see a free test available on the website, Natural Doc website. Is that, do I need to show a access coupon code, Janet?
Well, what I'm looking to see exactly what test, does it refer to any test in particular?
Well, I've been taking your beta-glucans, and I don't think it's helping because I have fire ant bites at the golf course all over my legs. It's not helping. What should I do?
Oh, okay, well, I think that's a complicated question. What exactly is your complaint again?
Is there a test for that venom?
One of the things that I'm thinking of, Dr. Slavin, could be the UVLRX treatment, which would be dramatic in its ability to reduce inflammation. The other things that I'm thinking about would be substances that have the potential to break down that ant venom, and the whole profile of enzymes, hydrochloric acid, things that are going to reduce inflammation. Vitamin C and quercetin, I think, could be really helpful for you. So those are a couple of suggestions from my point of view. Dr. Slavin?
Yeah, I've been drinking tons of orange juice. I don't think I'm of this world since I've been doing everything your show prescribes for many years. And I'm, you know, I'm calling you at my jeopardy because my station that I own, WKAT, went Spanish, and I don't understand anything on there. For example, I can't understand it. This is not available at Nova. What you guys do, it's not available at the Nova, is it? Nova University?
In general, no, it would not be available at Nova, even though Nova does have a school of osteopathy. They might have some suggestions. They might have some choices that they are teaching their students about, but many of the things that we're talking about here on Natural Doc Radio aren't necessarily available in those more mainstream facilities.
Could the Zika virus be in the fire ants, maybe, in their venom?
I doubt it. I really do. It's a very specific type of mosquito that carries that
I'm
virus.
On 10 days of doxycycline, Dr. Rosen of Miami Lakes, and he used a lot of scalpels to get rid of the, pull the head of the fire ant out of my skin.
Well, as I said, something that is an approach that would be... More efficient than the antibiotic would be the ultraviolet intravenous treatment.
Boswellia, maybe?
So a combination of turmeric, ginger, Boswellia, you might see a very dramatic reduction in inflammation from that combination.
Well, I've been taking the latest version of Zyflamin. It's wonderful. Zyflamin, the pain, it killed the pain totally. The Zyflamin, the latest version in the sealed capsules, Janet.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Thought I'd let you know, too. Yeah, because these, I think, insects are becoming venomous in... And I'd hate to have to treat my daughter for such a thing as I'm suffering under. I wonder if the schools know about it, the school nurses.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't necessarily think that the schools do, and the insects are, the venom is becoming more intense in its effect, possibly because the insects are developing resistance to the different chemicals that are in use to kill them off.
I've experienced that, and I want to express my love for your show. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for calling.
John, I just want to suggest to people, they can Google, you know, for example, antidotes to fire ant stings and get some recommendations online, because the best treatment is going to be the one that you do immediately when you get the problem. And that music means it's time for us to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
To Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. I just want to remind everybody, when it comes to any kind of insect sting, including jellyfish stings, applying ammonia to the area can help neutralize the venom. So that's just something to keep in mind. Janice, so we were talking about ways to prevent illness because mainstream medicine ignores that entirely. They are ready to help you out once you get sick, but they're not doing anything to prevent illness, and maybe we shouldn't blame them. That's not what they were designed to do. They're designed to, allopathic medicine, designed to prescribe drugs, do surgery, and use chemotherapy and radiation. So I don't know, should we hold mainstream medicine accountable for not doing things that you would hope they would do, and that's prevent illness? I'm not sure.
My opinion is, yes, we should hold them accountable, because in addition to their omissions, they are actually creating negative outcomes. And once you've been doing that for an extended period of time, and you see what the outcome is, that it is not necessarily a positive or curative outcome, wouldn't you, as an intelligent person, as a so-called scientifically trained individual, wouldn't you begin to seek out other approaches rather than continue with the same approach that leads to, unfortunately, the same not positive outcome?
You would think so, right? You would think doing the same thing over again. And when I say that, I mean, look at all the people that are getting treated for one illness or another, and the treatment is basically masking the symptom but not addressing the underlying cause. So here's a perhaps the underlying cause of some illness might be a lack of exercise. You know, we talked about how diet is poor diet is an underlying cause. Maybe you can evaluate a diet as to what your fasting insulin levels are. But there have been well over 100 studies that have looked at the role of exercise on cancer prevention, and they all show the same thing. The longer you exercise, the more pronounced the benefits. So, specifically, here's what they say. If you exercise on a regular basis, you're going to cut your risk of cancer. They show that physically active individuals have a 20 to 55% lower risk of cancer than their sedentary peers. And here are some statistics there. Compared to inactive people, active men or women have a 20 to 30% lower risk of breast cancer, a 38% reduced risk of invasive breast cancer, a 30 to 40% lower risk of colon cancer, a 44% lower risk of bowel cancer after the age of 65, and a 55% lower risk of lung cancer. So it seems to me that it's a no-brainer. You want to make sure exercise is in your part of your lifestyle. And I try to tell patients, it doesn't have to be hard exercise. It just has to be consistent exercise. And as long as you do something on a regular basis, you're going to derive the benefits from it. What's your take on that, Janet?
One of the things that I tell people is you have to find something that you enjoy. So it might be taking part in some kind of group sport. Volleyball comes to mind, possibly tennis. A variety of different choices to not only create physical movement, but to create a sense of community. And so find something that you like. Maybe it's hiking. Maybe it's kayaking. You never know until you try it. Then, that's none of the suggestions that I've just made appealing to you. What about just getting into a pool and walking? What about just walking around the neighborhood? And, of course, that high-intensity interval training, all you have to do is maybe 10 minutes of walking at a regular pace and then 10 paces as fast as you can go. Then a 20-pace recovery period, 10 paces as fast as you can go. And just in a very short period of time, you achieve an extensive benefit. And doing that 3, possibly 4 times a week, again, creates an inestimable health benefit.
And Jenna, you were actually referring to what's called high-intensity interval training. And that works for everybody. And, you know, we don't have time now at the end of the program to get into details on it. But you can Google that, high-intensity interval training. And even better, go to YouTube and do a search on high-intensity interval training. And you'll see lots of people talking about it and just how you can implement it in ways to suit your particular environment. You know, if you're in really great shape, you do things a little bit differently. If you're in bad shape, you can still do this, like Jana was explaining. So the diet and exercise are the best approaches to staying healthy that I know of, and that has to, you know, and then of course the supplements are important too, but nothing takes the place of exercise and diet. I'd like to thank our listeners. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back next week. Have a good weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.